Hello and welcome to Brewcast from Mason Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Luke Yarda here along with Scotty White, Wednesday, February 15th, a little bit later in the week, and dropping here for you on Friday the 17th. But, well, we got a big weekend ahead for Michigan basketball as we'll be taking a look back on Wisconsin, look ahead to Saturday night's game hosting Michigan State. Scotty White, what's happening, man? You know, we had the week off last week. I wasn't with you, but how you doing here tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good. And yeah, I mean, this podcast, I think for the both of us will just be kind of, you know, it's a little venting session for what we've witnessed the past two games from Michigan. So yeah, I mean, I'm doing well, but I've not been enjoying what I've been seeing in these basketball games, man.
No, you're not kidding, man. And we're fresh off of last night, and Indiana, that was bad in its own right, right? Michigan doesn't score the last about 5.5 minutes of that game to lose by one and kind of lose the momentum they had, right? Because they had won three straight, you know, beat Northwestern handily, able to get that Ohio State win, and then really took care of Nebraska, no problem. And the team is like, okay, it felt like they were starting to turn a corner. Right. And knowing the games that they had coming up, a real good chance to get one against a top 20 KenPom team in Indiana, put that one on the resume, maybe start to build the net a little bit as you start to build a tournament resume, and you absolutely blew it at the end of the game. Yeah. There's nothing else to say. Michigan blew that game against Indiana. Absolutely was leading the whole way, you know, was up big in the first half, should have won that basketball game. I mean, just utterly disappointing, and it felt like all the air was out of the balloon after Saturday.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the team had done a really good job of getting. I mean, it's been a rough year, and I look back at last year and this. You know, we were having the same discussions last January. Like, is this team going to make the tournament? Like, here are these big games right in front of them. If it's going to happen, it's got to happen now. And I think it was I just got it in my Snapchat memories about I think it was a year ago Sunday or Saturday, Michigan beat Purdue at home, had the court storming come up on the Snapchat from a year ago recently. So I mean, the same thing happened last year. The team took advantage and picked up some good wins to get them into the tournament. And I mean, this just a few of these possessions go a different way these past two games, and we could be having a totally different discussion in this podcast. I mean, Michigan was starting to creep into the on bracketology. They were in the considered category, and a win against Indiana and a road win against Wisconsin would have probably had them up near the first four in, first four out, next four out area. But instead, this team's problem of closing out games has just plagued them. And I think it was Zach Shaw I saw tweet at Michigan under Juwan Howard has had a big problem with that. It's not just this year. It's just been a problem closing out games. And it's really been evident those past two games.
I mean, and then just going to last night, dude. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it, really. You know, losing by five on the road to Wisconsin. And again, everyone knows it, but to hold a team without a field goal the last 10 minutes of the game and to not even one time in the second half tie it up, you know, like, well, I mean, they went in the lead with that, you know, they went in half with the lead. But I mean, during that stretch after Wisconsin went on the run, made it 12 points, you don't hold. I don't know if they scored a field goal from that moment on. And couldn't even get the thing tied down the stretch, missing free throws down the stretch. The offensive rebounding, dude. I mean, oh my gosh. 15 offensive rebounds for Wisconsin. Do you know what 15 offensive rebounds got them to? It got them to the 345th best offensive rebound percentage in the country after getting 35 or getting 15 of them last night. There are only 363 Division I teams in the country, and they rank 345th in offensive rebound percentage. Michigan gave up 15. At the end of the day, and you kind of go back and you look at some plays, and ultimately it was just laziness on Michigan's part, man. They literally, every time a shot goes up, they literally turn and they just watch the ball. It's literally, I mean, something that you're taught in middle school, right? As soon as the shot goes up, you go find somebody to box out. And you know, sometimes there are different things that you can obviously do, but ultimately that's what it boils down to. And it boils down to some toughness. It boils down to playing with a sense of urgency. And that is the biggest thing for me that, you know, really sucks, is that this team's season was on the line last night. Like, they're outside of winning the Big Ten tournament, Michigan doesn't have a chance to make the tournament as an at-large bid. I truly believe that at this point. Your season was on the line at the Kohl Center last night, and you couldn't be bothered on any of these Wisconsin shots to go and find somebody to box out. Go watch it. Go watch what everyone does. They just stand around. Wisconsin isn't even sending a lot of guys. They send like one or two, and they just beat them to the basketball because nobody touches them. And, like, I mean, you hear of, like the stories, particularly from, you know, like Tom Izzo and Michigan State, right? You always heard the stories, particularly when they were making those Final Four runs, that he would bring in football players, right, to go battle them. Sometimes they'd bring out the football pads and just run war drill that you had to box somebody out. You went and got the rebound. There were no rules. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's what makes you tough. That's what makes you a good rebounding team. This team is soft. This Michigan team is soft. They just watch that ball and just letting little dudes go in and beat you out for rebounds. And quite honestly, you know, I saw Hunter Dickinson get frustrated, and I would be as well, because a lot of the times, like, he was in good position for rebounds, and a guy would come from the other side of the court and just kind of take it away from him because, like, Jet Howard or someone else wouldn't go and even redirect the guy. Straight line drive, just watching it. Like, it is a miracle that this orange sphere is floating through the air. They're like, what kind of magic in this? They're mesmerized by a shot going up in the air that they forget that they got to box somebody the hell out, man. And it's just incredibly frustrating to look at it, knowing that if you limit to Wisconsin to like 7 offensive rebounds in that game, you probably end up winning the game if you continue to hold Wisconsin without a field goal through those 10 minutes. I mean, just it's blasphemy. It's a lack of toughness. It's a lack of discipline that comes from the coaching staff as well, because ultimately you take on the personality of your head coach.
Yep.
At the end of the day, right? And so it is absolutely on Juwan Howard. No question. And it's baffling that a guy like him, the way that he played, you know, and everything that I believe he stands for would allow a team to play like they did last night on the glass.
Yeah. And especially in, like you said, the season was on the line, and it was against Wisconsin. I mean, with everything that happened against Wisconsin last year, we've got Hunter Dickinson showing up in a ski mask because Michigan's going to steal a win at the Kohl Center, which obviously they didn't. Jet Howard was wearing the free Juwan shirt pregame. I mean, I'll say this, dude. I don't think I've ever seen a team talk as much and not win games than that Michigan team. I mean, and I saw – I actually – I'm just now realizing this is a coincidence. I'm wearing the tournament shirt from a couple years ago, and I saw this on Twitter today too. Michigan's got to bring it back to do more, say less, because right now it's doing the opposite of it. I mean, to have it, what that was just one of the most frustrating games that I've had to watch. Same with Indiana, but especially yesterday. I mean, Wisconsin scored, I think, 11 points in the last 10 minutes and 47 seconds. Yeah, you're down 12, but I mean, that, like, 11 points, and you should be able to score more and win a game if you're down by 12 and you hold the other team to 11 points in the final almost 11 minutes of the game, and they don't get a field goal. I just – that was one of the most frustrating games that I've watched in a long time. And honestly, I went into the game with not very high expectations and thinking that I wasn't going to let myself get frustrated. But the truth of the matter is Wisconsin's not a very good team. You know, I just watched them blow a 17-point lead to Nebraska. I mean, it's just very winnable games. And I totally agree with you. I mean, the margin of error, I think, is just totally gone now. It's win the Big Ten tournament or there will not be an NCAA tournament. I mean, it's just – It's really tough to watch, and it is really surprising. And it's, you know, Juwan, I'm not going to go out and say that I think Michigan needs to fire him or anything like that. I'm not to that point yet. But next year, that seat's going to be hot. That's for sure.
You know, it's funny. I tweeted out, going to your point of, you know, Michigan down the stretch there. I tweeted it out yesterday. As it happened, the under four timeout, Michigan had 54 points. And I set the over under at 60. Was Michigan going to get it? They actually scored their 54th point with 4:10 to go in the half. So Michigan scored 5 points in the last 4 minutes and 10 seconds. It's just not good enough, dude. It's just not good enough. I mean, I don't. Kobe. I'll give some flowers to Kobe Bufkin. I thought Kobe played a fantastic game. Yeah. He was really the one who showed up from start to finish, ready to go. Hunter played a good first half and was non-existent in the second half. You cannot go out there and talk all that shit and just not produce. He scored 3 points in the second half. Like, and that's probably a little bit on the coaching and the players around him as well, not getting him nearly as involved. But at the end of the day, sometimes you make your own breaks, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just, it wasn't good enough on his. He had 12 and 12, but I mean, he needs to be a 20 and 12 guy on this team. You know, Kobe had a great game. Jet Howard, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. He is not good enough defensively to go 4 for 14 from the field and 1 of 6 from three, right? Like, you can't. I mean, if you're going to be as bad defensively as Jet is at times and on the glass, man, you better be able to bring it each and every night. Because it was, and there's miscommunication out there. Sometimes there's a possession in the first half. I think half the players thought they were in zone, half they were in man. Wisconsin bangs a wide open three from the wing. Like, that's the thing, man. The last time we talked, and unfortunately we didn't have a pod last week because we could have been talking a little bit, you know, during that 3-game win streak stretch. Right. Like, they had to go in. They went Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday. They won those three games in a row. We didn't get to talk about that. Like, the last time we talked was after the Penn State game. And I feel like we're having the same damn conversation. You know, I feel like all the goodwill from that 3-game win streak is just completely out the window the way they handled Indiana and Wisconsin the last two games.
Yeah. I mean, those are arguably two of the most frustrating losses of the season, and they lost at home to Central Michigan, so that's saying a lot. But yeah, I mean, you brought up Kobe Bufkin. I mean, he's been playing great, and that's what's so crazy to me, is that this Michigan team might miss the tournament, or probably will, very likely will miss the tournament, and they might lose Jet Howard and Kobe Bufkin to the NBA. And there's Hunter Dickinson, who was a freshman All-American on the team. I mean, that's you see there's so much talent. I mean, you can't deny that. So the fact that this team is going to miss the tournament, it just shows that it's those very little things, like being soft and hustle and just the laziness going to get rebounds. I mean, there's no reason that a team with this much talent should be doing those kind of things. I mean, you see the guys being talked about as NBA players, but they can't get it done in college because of those little things. And yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not miss the Beeline days right now. Like I said, I mean, I'm certainly not giving up on Juwan. I mean, he won a Big Ten championship with Michigan. But right now it's a little bit rough.
Well, to your point, man, and that's what I keep going back to. Like, there is potential right now that Michigan has two first round NBA picks on their roster as perimeter players, and a preseason All-American in Hunter Dickinson, a guy who was on the wooden watch at the beginning of the year, and probably going to miss the tournament. Like, that's a hack job at the end of the day. It's a hatchet job, man. It's so bad. They've been so bad this year, and there's too much talent for them to be playing like this. That's the issue. You know, you do wonder, and it's hard to say it, because you mentioned the success, you know, that Michigan's had. You go back to the Big Ten championship year, and even though that feels like forever ago at this point, but a Sweet 16 run last year really masked what was just a very frustrating team last year. It was not a great regular season that Michigan had last year. Yeah, you know, and the Sweet 16 run, the wins over Colorado State, Tennessee, it kind of masked that a little bit.
It did.
You know, like, oh, you know, Juwan went to the Elite Eight in 21, won a Big Ten championship. Last year went to the Sweet 16. That's awesome. You know, I love the run, and that's what you play for. But this team was not in a good spot last year. They're in a worse spot this year with seemingly more talent. And for me, it comes down to what we talked about at the beginning of the pod. And there's questions about the culture within the program, because you've got Hunter Dickinson. And you know what? Everyone, do your own thing. Do what you feel is best for you. Like, you know, I'm not going to judge Hunter, you know, for going on podcasts. He can say what he wants, but at the end of the day, like you mentioned, like, you got to be able to back it up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just talk and do nothing. Like Michigan, you mentioned the do more, say less. They're doing less and saying more here this year, you know? And that's a problem. Until you get it figured out, you might want to hunker down. You might want to figure out what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So there does seem to be an issue there, and it's just not clicking. I don't feel like the team is all pulling in one direction, right? You know, that there seems to be a bunch of very talented individuals that are kind of pulling in their own directions on this team. And that's ultimately how you waste an incredibly talented bunch. I mean, we've seen players, like top caliber players, drag really bad teams to the NCAA tournament before.
Yeah.
This team has three extremely talented players and some pretty good role players that just can't figure out how to get it done. And yeah, I mean, and part of it is just the finishing, right? Like, we're looking at the season completely different if they don't blow the second half lead against Virginia, if they pull out the Kentucky game, obviously, North Carolina, Central Michigan, all those four are winnable games. That excludes Indiana, Wisconsin, which you should have won. Like all of a sudden, that's six more wins on your schedule right now, and you're sitting at 20-6 on the year. You're firmly in the NCAA tournament, probably a top three seed. Yeah, we're talking about it different, but the fact is they are not, and they haven't been able to turn the corner, because again, I don't think they're all pulling in one direction. And I'm in 100% agreement with you in the, you know, I'm nowhere near the fire Juwan Howard train right now. A lot of people are, and that's just people's go-to, right? Like, when things go bad, fire the guy, because that's always the magical cure. Fire Jim Harbaugh, you know? Yeah, look how that turned out. I'm not saying Juwan is going to have the same success Harbaugh's had the last couple of years, but sometimes you got to give it time. It's real easy and real lazy, to be quite honest with you, to just be like, when things go bad, fire the guy. Like, that is such a lazy take. Like, do some critical thinking for more than 3 seconds in your life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm nowhere near that, but he does have to probably take a good hard look at the program, find out exactly what he wants Michigan to be. Because honestly, I don't, you know, the staff and probably the place, and it's not even really working for Kentucky anymore, right? Like, going out and getting, you know, we say one and done guys. There's not a lot of one and done guys. Like, we had Musa and Caleb last year, probably only Jet this year as a one and done guy. But it doesn't, it's just no longer a thing. You got to work the transfer portal, and you got to develop. Like KenPom's number one team is Houston right now. You know what I'm saying? And you go take a look at them, and some of they're an old team, man. You know, like they've got Sheed, who's a junior point guard. The backup is Sasser, is a senior. Sasser's playing a lot of shooting guard, who's a senior. They've got a junior power forward. They got a couple of freshmen mixed in there, but you have to get experience. You've got to, you know, homegrown some talent. Obviously, with Purdue, we see that. They got some stud freshmen, but Zach Edey's been around for seemingly ever. Nate Oates has done a great job at Alabama, and, you know, look at his top usage guys. You know, Quinterly, he's a senior. You know, the roster construction, I think, it has to be looked at. What type of program does Michigan want to be? That's a big question mark, and I think Juwan and the staff needs to do some introspection in the off season, you know, barring a miraculous run through the Big Ten tournament and making some noise in the NCAA tournament, which obviously I don't think is going to happen. But you need to take a good hard look at the program, you know, and it is college basketball is an ever-changing landscape. You know, even JB had some really tough years in Ann Arbor after he had some success, right? Yeah. He took over a bad program early on. Then he got him to the NCAA tournament with Stu and Novak and Darius Morris. And then they got Hardaway, and then they got Trey, and all of a sudden they're that team that's, you know, going to the national championship game. They win the Big Ten championship next year. And then all of a sudden you lose some guys and the program's in disarray. You miss the tournament, you're fighting, battling, but then you figure it back out. Like, there are going to be bad years. It's college basketball. It's kind of a fluctuating thing. I mean, right. Everyone does it. Duke, UNC, they've had bad years, but you have to find some consistency, I think, if you're Michigan moving forward, because the last 2 years just haven't been it. Yeah, great. They went to a Sweet 16. That was awesome. It was a great run, but the regular season was not where it needed to be with the amount of talent that Michigan had. I think they need to find an identity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that you made a really good point for why the, you know, just go straight to firing the coaches is such a lazy take. And it's like you said, I mean, you can even take out the Kentucky game and the North Carolina game and just look at games that Michigan has just like literally just had the win wrapped up and blown it, with Central Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, Virginia, and Wisconsin. I mean, just right there, that's 19-7. That's near the top of the Big Ten, firmly in the tournament, probably ranked, a pretty good season. And that's, Michigan's really close to that. Those are games that Michigan's blown. Not just, you know, Michigan's not, there are teams that will just go out and, you know, they're not very competitive. You know, Michigan's not one of those teams. And it wasn't like that last year either. Even when we were having the discussions of, is this team going to make the tournament? You know, it wasn't like Michigan's going out and they're not competitive. They're close. But yeah, I mean, that at the same time is what makes it so hard. I mean, those, you just can't blow games like that, you know?
Yeah. I will say though, Scotty, there is a bit of a cause for concern here. When you take a look at Juwan's tenure, from 21, they had a pretty big jump in metrics from 20, but last year, 21st in adjusted offense, 74th in adjusted defense. This year, 50th in adjusted offense, 64th in adjusted defense. I do not understand how this is a worse Michigan offense than they were a year ago, because I think they're a little more talented offensively than they were a year ago. I mean, you think some of the pieces they had, you know, playing a lot of Hunter and Musa and no spacing on the offensive end. They finished 21st in KenPom adjusted offensive efficiency. This is a barely a top 50 adjusted offense in the country, with two NBA perimeter prospects and an absolute monster down low in Hunter Dickinson. So what is the identity of Michigan? You know what I'm saying? Like early on in the JB years, right? What he was known for, he was an offensive guy. Like at the end of the day, offensive mastermind. You go back to that 2013 team, they were number one in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency. And defense always lacked a little bit until Yaklich, right? Went out and got Yaklich, and then all of a sudden, Michigan turned into a defensive juggernaut. Michigan doesn't really have an identity. You'd want it to think it'd be the offensive end and the NBA sets that Juwan likes to run, but unless you're using or even have the right personnel for a lot of those sets, they just kind of struggle in the college game because there's way more of a lack of spacing than there is in the NBA. So I think there needs to be an adjustment there. And then defensively, just it's atrocious. I don't think Michigan really has an identity within the program right now of what they're going to be great at. Like you think of Houston or like Texas Tech, right? And what are they going to do? They're going to play tough, hard-nosed defense, and they're going to rebound the basketball. Like that's generally what those programs outside of an off year are kind of going to do, right? Purdue and Baylor, you know, Baylor's just going to – they're going to have a good offense each and every year. Like that's just what Scott Drew's going to do. Purdue's going to have a big man that they feed, right? Like what is the identity of Michigan basketball? And they don't have one, and I think they need to identify one.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I just got the schedule pulled up, and I mean, it's the whole Big Ten slate this year was incredibly easy with only two or three teams getting ranked and Purdue being the only consistently ranked team. But I mean, down the stretch here, I mean, two games at home, three games on the road. It's going to be a tougher part of the schedule. And Michigan State up next at home. I mean, it's interesting to think about these games because at this point, do the regular, I mean, obviously they matter, but I mean, it really feels like the Big Ten tournament's the only thing that matters at this point.
Well, I think, but so going along with that though, is that, you know, at the end of the day, Michigan does, you know, have, they're sitting at 8-6 in the conference, right? Yeah. So right now, and it's a log jam. So to your point, these regular, I think the regular season matters not necessarily to bolster the resume as much, but to put yourself in a position to make a run in the Big Ten tournament. Yeah. Like that's what you're trying to do. Outside chance of the double bye, right? They're a half game out of a double bye right now.
That is insane.
Purdue's leading the way at 12-3. There's two teams, Northwestern, Indiana at 9-5, Maryland, Illinois, Michigan State, Iowa, all sitting at 8-6, Rutgers and Michigan at 8-7. They're a half game out of that potential double bye, and you play Michigan State coming up on Saturday. It all starts right there. You would be ahead of them in the conference standings if you win that game. You'd be a half game up because you'd have the extra win on them. So that's what it's going to come down to for Michigan, I think, right? Is setting yourself up to potentially make a run in the Big Ten tournament. And it's tough. You got Michigan State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana, but all of a sudden you run the table and you probably are looking at a double bye here in the Big Ten tournament and maybe a chance. Probably doesn't get you enough to get an at-large bid, but all of a sudden, you know, you got to win three games instead of five to punch your ticket to the tournament. And that's ultimately what you're setting yourself up for.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, like before these last two losses, I was honestly thinking that we could get into a position where Michigan gets a double bye and it hurts them because they don't get a couple easy chances to add a couple more wins earlier in the tournament. I was thinking that was actually a real possibility, which is just so crazy in the Big Ten. You know, you think you get a double bye, you're going to be pretty firmly in the tournament, but that's just not the case this year. But yeah, it's really crazy that Michigan is sitting in that position though. I mean, you get that double bye. I mean, that would be so huge, man. Cause it's going in and winning that tournament starting on Wednesday or Thursday. We've seen Michigan do it before, but it is incredibly difficult. So that would be huge. But yeah, all starts against Michigan State on Saturday. Obviously just heartbreaking and extremely frustrating to see what happened in East Lansing. All of our thoughts are with the whole Michigan State community. And I think that it's obviously going to be a very different environment for the rivalry. And I think that's important too, because I think the Michigan State rivalry has just gotten so toxic. So I hope that can be a refreshing change of pace, and maybe get some more respect back. Cause at the end of the day, I mean, it's a sports rivalry, and some of the things that you see people saying to each other on Twitter over a sports rivalry are quite crazy. I mean, that rivalry has been really toxic, and let's just hope that we can change that a little bit. It'll be an interesting environment on Saturday. And looking back at the rivalry since Juwan's gotten here, believe Michigan has won every game in Ann Arbor and Michigan State's won every single game in East Lansing. So hopefully that trend will continue because Michigan needs a lot of wins if they're going to get that double bye.
Yeah. And I hope it's a better game coming up on Saturday than it was in East Lansing, man. That thing sucked, to be honest with you.
Michigan,
both teams shot sub 40% from the field. Michigan State doubled up Michigan from 3-point percentage, but Michigan State only shot at 31.6%, while Michigan shot at 15%. It was an ugly, ugly game. I'm hoping for some better basketball, but I mean, at the end of the day, Michigan State, They got really good. They got a really good defense. You know what I'm saying? They rank 17th in adjusted defensive efficiency according to KenPom, and you know Michigan's really struggled to score the ball at times. So that's going to be a big issue, I still think, for Michigan. I mean, went five and a half minutes of the Indiana game, didn't score. Yeah, scored 5 points in the last 4 minutes and 10 seconds when you hold field goal Wisconsin without a field goal down the stretch to win that game. I think there's going to be long spells in this game where Michigan really struggles to score the basketball. And you know, I think that's going to be the same for Michigan State's offense, which is really not good outside of the top 75 per KenPom in adjusted offensive efficiency. So could be another ugly game, but Michigan's just got to find a way to scrape one out here, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really hoping that they can get a, you know, decent lead before the 4 or 5 minute mark, because if that game is close and, you know, within a possession or two going into the under four timeout, I'm going to honestly not feel very confident.
Yeah, I think Hunter Dickinson, he needs to be the focal point of the offense. Obviously, offense needs to run through him. He's going to be matched up probably with Sissoko, and we'll see if, you know, what State throws at him, any double teams, but need to shoot the three ball a little bit better if that's the case. But offense has to run through Dickinson. We'll see, obviously, with the starting lineup, if Terrence Williams is still out, Will Cheddar, if he's going to get the start coming up. But it's going to be a big one Saturday, man. Michigan needs to get it. But at the end of the day, like we said, you know, given the recent events in East Lansing, man, basketball, the outcome seems secondary. This is just a really good opportunity for Michigan State to get back out there, and for Michigan State fans and Michigan fans just escape for a couple hours on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we were Luke and I were talking about this before the game, but no idea what the environment will be like, but it'll be interesting. I know Michigan will have some things planned to honor the victims of what went down. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be a weird feeling. Like you said, it doesn't really feel like basketball is the most important thing on that day. But going back to Michigan's remaining schedule, two games left at home, the three road games, Rutgers, Indiana, and Illinois. So definitely got to get the two wins at home against Michigan State and Wisconsin to have any sort of chance at getting in a good position to make a run in the Big Ten tournament.
Support for Brewcast. Big thanks to Manscaped. And we got breaking news. Manscaped now sells beard products, once again revolutionizing men's grooming with the brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. This thing is amazing. No one likes a weird beard. Say goodbye to all that stubble trouble. Manscaped's Pro Beard Kit has you covered. It's got the beard hedger, the juggernaut of fixing faces. It's cordless trimmer, rotary wheel, gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with one guard. Titanium coated T-blade is tough on hair, smooth on your face. And then there's a beard shampoo and conditioner, beard oil, beard balm. Get yours today. We're getting you 20% off and free shipping. Use promo code MNB20. That's MNB20 at manscaped.com. Scotty White, where can we find you on social media, my friend?
You guys can give me a follow on Twitter at @ScottyWhite_. Basketball season is starting to wrap up, but I am switching over to baseball. The season gets underway this weekend. So if you're looking to follow along with the Michigan baseball team, make sure you give me a follow.
You can follow me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Mason Brew Twitter page at Mason Brew. We're going to have some news surrounding the podcast coming up here very soon. Make sure to stay tuned for that. And also check out all the great content coming your way on the website here this week. For my partner, Scotty White, I'm Luke Giardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.